Before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for being our holy God. You've given us your holy word. Help us to be those who would hear it, heed it, and keep it. Father, we know we need your power to be able to understand it, to comprehend it, to grasp it in its fullness, and to live it out. So we ask your Spirit now to empower us, to illumine our minds and our hearts unto your truth, that we may, by your power, live it out unto your glory, to the benefit of your people, and to your praise. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I've titled this message, The Blessed Life, The Blessed Life. I'll follow along as I read verses 1 through 8. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of Yahweh. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies. They seek him with all their heart. They also do not work unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, may my ways be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. The Psalms, I'll give a quick recap of what was taught last week. The Psalms are a theological songbook. It's a book of praise and worship. It's a book that reveals God and praises God for who he is and what he has done. And the Psalms are arranged to portray the goal of praising the Lord in the midst of enemies around us and the sin that remains within us. The Psalms are for us to know how to be blessed in the midst of wickedness and difficulty and trials and suffering and whatever is going on around us. God doesn't want us to escape from reality or to ignore it or to suffer through it begrudgingly. He wants us to be blessed through that reality. He wants us to praise him as he forms our hearts and behavior as we live in this world and submit ourselves to his will and to his word. And in the Psalms, praise is the expected outcome, but meditation is the underlying activity which we are to undertake in as we allow the power of God's word that's living and active to form our hearts as we look to the God of the word in the word of God. God has given us the Psalms not merely to find a mood that fits our present state of being, but rather God has given us the Psalms to form us. God intends these songs to shape and form who we are as his people, so that we would truly experience the blessed life, and this in the midst of wickedness and wicked counsel. Psalm 1 and 2 function as an introduction, a prelude, and the first word of Psalm 1 captures the intended purpose of the book of Psalms, blessedness. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law he meditates day and night. The first word, blessed, is a key word that runs throughout the Psalter from beginning to end. It begins Psalm 1, verse 1, and it begins Psalm 119, verse 1 as well, and verse 2. To be blessed means a state of well-being, to flourish, to prosper, to be happy. In reality, this is what everyone desires. Everyone wants to prosper. Everyone wants to flourish. Everyone wants a state of well-being and to be happy. You can say, I want, and fill in the blank. Why? Because it will make me happy. Martin Luther said, the search for personal blessedness is common to all men. There is no one who does not desire to fare well or hate to fare badly. And a recent search online showed that 27,000 people per month are looking up how to be happy. How to be happy. Yet blessedness is not, as the word happiness might connote today, merely a feeling. When the Bible tells us that someone is blessed, it is not telling us what they feel, but what they are. Happiness is a subjective state based upon changing circumstances, whereas blessedness is an objective state based upon an unchanging God, an unchanging word. And blessedness only comes from God. And why does blessedness only come from God? Because God is our sovereign creator who created us for his own glory, that through glorifying him, we would be blessed. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28 Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, so that they will have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that creeps on the earth. Genesis 1:28 says, God blessed them. God as creator gave to mankind, whom he created in his image, all of creation for them to enjoy and to have dominion over as his representatives, as his blessing to them. In other words, God promises blessing to mankind under his rule. And therefore, blessing comes, as the Psalms portray, only for those who submit to God as king, who submit to God as their creator and king. And this is evident in the first two Psalms, which are the gates into the rest of the Psalter. Psalm 1 is about the way of the blessed man in contrast to the way of the wicked man. Psalm 2 is about the rule and reign of Messiah as king, the second coming of Jesus. And therefore, to be blessed is to realize God's initial intent for mankind to flourish in submission to him and to have dominion over the rest of creation as his representatives. But the reality of sin prevents man from ruling as God intended in his blessing of Genesis 1:28. Therefore, in Genesis 3:15, God gives a promise. God promises to one day raise up a seed of the woman, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who will exercise the dominion that Adam failed to accomplish, so that through him, the Son of God and Son of Man, the true and better Adam, we would experience the fullness of the kind of blessing God promised for mankind. And so both of these passages, Genesis 1:28 and Genesis 3:15, and their underlying promises of blessing by exercising dominion through a seed of the woman, are key in understanding the progression of thought through the Psalms and ultimately the nature of true blessedness. And we see Jesus himself reiterating this teaching and understanding in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 in his Sermon on the Mount. It begins with Beatitudes, the blessedness of those who live in light of and belong to the kingdom of God in submission to the King. We also see this in the very last book of divine revelation in Scripture, the book of Revelation. Revelation 1:3 and Revelation 22, verse 7 speak about the blessing that comes to the man who hears and reads the words of this prophecy and keeps them. And so this idea of blessing tied to the word of God is throughout Scripture. We see this in Psalm 2, verse 12 as well, the ending of these two introductory psalms that lead into the rest of the Psalter, Psalm 1 and 2. It reads in Psalm 2, verse 12, how blessed are all who take refuge in him. And here's the fundamental truth that you will find over and over in the book of Psalms. Take refuge in God. Take refuge in Yahweh, because he is the source of true blessedness and the one who will provide safety, comfort, encouragement, hope, and protection in the midst of a fallen world. The truly blessed person, the Psalms teach us, will not allow his conception of blessedness to be shaped or influenced by the counsel of the wicked or the ungodly or the news or social media or any other man. Rather, his delight, what will shape and form his path, is the law of Yahweh, the Torah of Yahweh. Our path, our way, our lives, in other words, are driven by whatever we allow to shape our image of what it means to be blessed, what it means to be happy, to prosper, to flourish. But it is only submission to God and to his word that will lead to true blessedness. God has given us the Psalms to form our hearts, which in turn lead us on the path of true blessedness. And this is what we will see in Psalm 119. Again, Psalm 119 is an acrostic or alphabetical psalm. All eight verses of this first stanza that I read begin with Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. All eight verses of the second stanza begin with Beth, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It aids in memorization and contains the whole alphabet from beginning to end, signifying the importance and necessity of the Word of God for the entirety of our lives. And we'll go through the entire alphabet, 22 stanzas. This week, we're looking at Aleph. What we will learn from these 22 stanzas are 22 tragedies or dangers that result from neglecting God's word, or on the flip side, 22 blessings and promises that come to those who commit and devote their lives to the word of God. And I'll quickly go through a summary of each stanza again. If you neglect the word of God in your life, you're casting aside blessing. And that's what we'll see this afternoon. If you neglect the word of God, you're casting aside blessing in your life. You will also be casting aside purity, wisdom, strength, joy, an understanding of God's love, hope, favor, discernment, influence for the kingdom of God, comfort, life itself, obedience, illumination, the fear of God, truth, conviction, passion, intimacy, progressive sanctification, praise, and answers to prayer. That is what will happen if you neglect the word of God. You're casting aside all of those things. On the flip side, the 22 blessings or promises that come to those who commit and devote their lives to the word of God. Purity, blessing, love, joy, truth, passion. And we'll look at those each week. All of these things only God can provide. He's the source, he's the supplier, and he does so through his living and active, all-powerful, all-sufficient word as we avail ourselves and place ourselves in the blessed path of obedience to his holy word. The word of God is the primary means of grace for perseverance and spiritual growth and maturity to live a blessed life. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it, by the pure milk of the word, you may grow in respect to salvation. John 17:17 speaks about the people of God, that they're sanctified by the truth of the word of God. James also gives testimony to the sufficiency of scripture. James chapter 1 verse 25 says, one who looks intently at the perfect law, perfect meaning trustworthy, lacking nothing, complete. And he continues, one who looks intently at the perfect law and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in what he does. All that pertains to life and conduct for a believer is bound up in the scriptures. Our spiritual sufficiency and sustenance comes from God and is ministered from the word by the spirit to the heart of a believer. And so we absolutely need the word of God for and in our lives. Do you want to experience the joy of a blessed life? Do you want to experience the joy of a blessed life? In these verses, the psalmist will teach us that if we neglect the word of God, we are casting aside blessing in our lives. Or you can look at it as the psalmist teaching us the blessing or promise that comes to those who commit and devote their lives to the word of God. We'll take note of the necessity of the word of God in the life of a believer and consequently what results if you neglect the word of God in your life. We'll see three testifying realities of the word of God. Three testifying realities of the word of God. Verses 1-3, what it affirms, which is blessedness. What it affirms, blessedness. Secondly, verses 4-6, what it requires, obedience. What it requires, obedience. And lastly, verses 7-8, what it produces, holy affections. What it produces, holy affections. First, what it affirms, blessedness, verses 1-3. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of Yahweh. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies. They seek him with all their heart. They also do not work unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the first Hebrew word in these two verses, the same word that begins Psalm 1, verse 1. Therefore, it is the word of God in the believer's life that produces the life of blessing. This is what the word of God testifies. This is what the word of God affirms. And as we'll see in this first stanza and throughout Psalm 119 is the emphasis and exaltation of the word of God for our lives. It's been likened to a jewel or a diamond or kaleidoscope where the psalmist rotates the beauty and the reflection of the word of God by using different words to shine and speak of scripture. And some of these words include law, testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, word, way, promise. These are synonyms and characteristics of different aspects of the word of God that display the all-encompassing, comprehensive, sufficient, and divine guide for our lives. All 176 verses are therefore proclaiming, promoting, picturing, and permeated with the Word of God. Psalm 119 has been called the Christian's golden ABCs of praise, love, power, and blessing of the Word of God. And that's how it begins. Verse 1, the first Hebrew word is blessed, and it communicates the idea of completeness. And that is supported by the word blameless as well at the end of the verse. Therefore, the translators have it as how blessed, meaning it's beyond measure, fullness of blessedness. How blessed are those whose way is blameless. Blameless here does not mean perfect. Rather, it means to have integrity, to be the same inside as we appear on the outside. The Bible speaks of believers who still sin, yet are blameless and blessed because they keep the law of Yahweh. Genesis 17, verses 1 and 2. Now it happened that when Abram was 90 years old, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, so that I may confirm my covenant between me and you, and that I may multiply you exceedingly. God's not telling Abraham to be perfect. He's telling him to walk before me and be blameless. Walk with integrity. Keep my word. Abraham was not sinless. This has to do with integrity and keeping the law of Yahweh. Genesis 26, verses 4 and 5. And I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. I will give your seed all these lands, and by your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham listened to my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. There's a connection between blessing and keeping the law of Yahweh. Job is another example. Job 1 verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. That doesn't mean perfect. Yet at the end of the book of Job, we see him repenting. Job 42 verses 5 and 6. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I reject myself and I repent in dust and ashes. Then it says in Job 42, 12, and Yahweh blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. We also see this when God gives wisdom to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 14, and ties blessing with keeping the law of Yahweh. It says, now if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. I will bless you if you keep my word. And so we see in Psalm 119 verse 1 that when the psalmist uses blameless, it refers to direction. Direction. We even see this within the phrase itself. It says, whose way is blameless. And way is a metaphor for life's roadway, a path of life, a course of conduct that is marked out by God's word. To be blameless is about direction, where the law points to the promise of God, to ultimately repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It can be said of Abraham and Job and David that they were blameless because of the blessings of justification by faith and having a perfect righteousness reckoned to them. Being blameless also carries the idea of being the same person we are on the inside as we appear on the outside. Proverbs 11, verse 20. Those with a crooked heart are an abomination to Yahweh, but those of a blameless way are his delight. Blamelessness is having integrity, a sincere and unified desire, a certain manner of life, though sinful as we are, that we are continuing to walk in the direction of godliness. Not a hypocritical and divided heart, but a wholehearted direction of life towards God and his word. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of Yahweh. Those who do not depart from the direction of the law can be confident that they are not going astray, because God's word is infallible. It is unable to mislead or fail or guide you down the wrong path. Blameless is further specified in the next clause, who walk in the law of Yahweh. Those who are blessed are those whose way is blameless, and those whose way is blameless are those who walk in the law of Yahweh. Therefore, those who are blessed are those who walk in the law of Yahweh. The law of Yahweh is speaking about the Torah of Yahweh, It means instruction. It refers to direction and that which gives guidance. In other words, it provides divine instruction for our lives. It has to do with what we believe, what we are, and what we do. It includes the whole of God's divine written revelation as the guide of life, which is authoritative and sufficient. And those who are blessed walk according to this divine instruction for life. Walk refers to day-to-day living, a lifestyle, common everyday practice, how one conducts himself each and every day. Therefore, blessedness is not just a status or a position. It is a walk. It is a way, a lifestyle, a blameless one that is characterized by integrity and direction. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." It's not just about our position before Christ that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 4 verse 1 goes on to say, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called." Our way and our walk is evidence of our being blessed of the Lord. In verse 2, the psalmist continues, "How blessed are those who observe his testimonies. They seek him with all their heart." The Christian life is an active life. The Christian life is an active life that seeks after God with all our hearts. Those whose way is blameless, that's an active lifestyle pursuing God. Those who walk in the law of Yahweh, there's a diligent effort pursuing God. Those who observe his testimonies, those who seek after him with all their heart. To observe is to keep watch over in order to conform one's actions or practice to. It carries the idea of to protect, to preserve, to guard with fidelity, or to watch, as in Jeremiah 31, of the watchman, and of Ezekiel 6 and Jeremiah 4, of keeping a close watch for enemies or besiegers seeking to take over the town. And so when the psalmist writes, "How blessed are those who observe his testimonies," testimonies referring to the divine witness of Scripture, God giving testimony to who he is and what he requires. It is a declaration of the will of God, God's standard of conduct. The blessed are those who observe and keep a close watch over Yahweh's testimonies in order to protect and preserve and guard their lives from anything that would harm them. And they do this by seeking him with all their heart. And to seek is in the imperfect tense, and so it describes a repeated and ongoing action that refers to reaching for something that one desires and to be intent on it, focused on doing so. And notice, what are they seeking continually? Him. The purpose of knowing the Word of God is to know the God of the Word. They are seeking him with all their heart. 1 Timothy 1:5, "But the goal of our command is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and an unhypocritical faith." Paul says to Timothy that the goal of our instruction or command is love, love for God and love for neighbor, not just more head knowledge, but love, which is affection and action, which is attitude and ambition, all your heart, the entirety of your inner man, all of who you are, your mind, your will, and your affections. And so the blessed are those who are not seeking him for purely head knowledge. The blessed are those who are not seeking him purely for head knowledge, but rather those who are seeking him with all their heart, mind, will, and affections. There's a difference between reading your Bible and delighting in reading your Bible. There's a difference between knowing more about God and loving God more. There's a difference between a cold, going through the motions, obedience, and an all-out seeking him with all your heart obedience. Are you proud and content to just move the bookmark and to check off your daily Bible reading plan? Are you content with just hearing the word taught on Sundays? Or are you diligently pursuing the practice of it in your life during the week? In verse 3, the psalmist continues by saying that the blessed are those who do not work unrighteousness, anything that does not conform to the standard of God. They walk in his ways. Again, ways speaking about a pattern of life that is marked out by the law of Yahweh. And do, to do, communicates that as well. It refers to someone who commits and practices and behaves in a certain manner. We see that it is not enough to just avoid evil, to not work unrighteousness, but we must also, it says, walk in his ways. We must put on righteousness. This is sanctification, to turn from sin and to turn to following God's word, to put off, to replace, and to put on. And how are we sanctified? By the Spirit of God through the word of God. A holy person is a truly blessed person. There's no other way to be happy or blessed than to walk in his ways, to walk in the way of the word. And to be blessed is to live life in conformity to God's word. This is what God's word affirms. This is what God's word declares. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And this leads us to the next testifying reality of the word of God. What it affirms, blessedness. Secondly, what it requires, obedience. What it requires, obedience, verses 4 through 6. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. O may my ways be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. The word of God requires obedience. The word of God requires our obedience. Inherent in verse 4 is the creator-creature distinction. Who created us? God. Who has the right to command us what to do? God. He is the potter. We are the clay. Who has commanded or ordained us? Verse 4a. God. The psalmist is acknowledging who God is and what he has done. He states, you, which in the Hebrew grammar is emphatic. In other words, it says, you yourself, Yahweh and Yahweh alone have commanded us. And what has he commanded us? Verse 4b. To keep your precepts diligently. Precepts meaning a rule or guidelines intended to regulate behavior or thought. And what does he require? Us to keep his precepts diligently. In other words, he requires us to obey him. He requires obedience. To keep is to guard or to watch over something of value. But it also means to give heed to. And he says to do it diligently, with exceedingly great might. In other words, with all your might, you're to give heed to the word of God. The word is authoritative and sufficient, and so it rightly demands and requires our loyalty, our allegiance, our life, and our all. And this doesn't just answer the who created us, and the what has he commanded us, what does he require, but also the why. Why has God created us? For his glory. Therefore, he has commanded us that we would keep and obey his commands and thus glorify him. As we do. And as we do, we are those who are blessed. Yet we also know that we cannot do this on our own. And so the cry of our hearts, along with the psalmist, is verse 5. Oh, may my ways be established to keep your statutes. In other words, we depend upon God's empowerment and enabling grace to establish us. It is God who establishes us. To make us steadfast and unshakable, to keep his statutes, which means things inscribed, refers to something prescribed, a regulation, an authoritative rule. And he'll later write in Psalm 119, verse 38, cause your word to be established for your slave as that which produces fear, reverential awe, respect, worship for you, Yahweh. Do not think that you can do this on your own. Do not depend upon yourself. Do not think that it's about you. It's all about him and his glory. This is why our focus on Yahweh is so important. Verse 2, seek him with all your heart. Seek him with all your heart. And so what is our guide in life? How do we know what to do? How do we know the path that leads to the blessed life that everyone is seeking after? Verse 4, keep your precepts. Verse 5, keep your statutes. Verse 6, look upon all your commandments. Where are his precepts, statutes, and all his commandments found? In the Word of God. Our guide in life is the Word of God. Our guide in life is the Word of God. And we are not to just know them, but we are to keep them as we depend upon him to establish our ways. Why? Because verse 6, then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. What does that imply? It implies that sin brings shame, but obedience doesn't, because it will result in a good conscience before God, knowing that we are doing his will according to his word. The verse answers the question, when will you not be ashamed? And the answer, when I look upon all your commandments. To look means to carefully contemplate, to perceive with attention, to direct one's gaze toward, to behold and to accept it favorably. And all just means all the commandments. And commandments refers to definitive, authoritative commands, not suggestions, not optional, but binding divine decrees given by our Creator. Is this your relationship to the God of the Word? Is this your relationship to the Word of God? One that recognizes God's sovereign authority over your life and your submission and dependence upon Him, that you would not be ashamed and that your ways would be established. This is the only path to the blessed life. So far, we've seen two testifying realities of the Word of God: what it affirms, blessedness; what it requires, obedience. Lastly, verses 7 and 8, what it produces, holy affections. What it produces, holy affections. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. The Word of God produces praise and dependence. The psalmist is stating that continued spiritual growth and praise and thanksgiving comes from learning the Word of God. It will produce holy affections. Verse 7, I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. To give thanks is to give praise, but it also carries the idea of confession, both to confess who God is and also to confess one's sin. And our praise and thanksgiving is to be done with uprightness of heart, meaning with straightness, with honesty, because it is right. And it is what ought to be done because of who God is, from the heart. The more we learn about Yahweh and his righteous judgments, his moral standard of truth and righteousness that determines what is right and what is wrong, the more we should praise and give thanks to him, because he has revealed to us and made more clear to us the blessed path. And in verse 8, what else is there for the psalmist to do? As his affections grow, he becomes more resolved to obey Yahweh, and and he becomes more dependent on Yahweh as well. Verse 8, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. He knows, again, that he cannot do this alone. He's saying, I need your grace. Do not forsake me utterly. Therefore, this is a humble prayer for divine help. I want to do this. I'm resolved, Lord. Yet I know I can't do this without you. I'm dependent upon you, Lord. Three testifying realities of the Word of God as it relates to the blessed life and the necessity of the Word of God in the life of a believer: what it affirms, blessedness; what it requires, obedience; what it produces, holy affections. If we neglect the Word of God, we are casting aside blessing in our lives. It is those who are blessed that commit and devote their lives to the Word of God. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of Yahweh. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies. They seek him with all their heart. Might be hard for you to obey the Lord, but obey him. How blessed you will be. This is the necessity of the word of God in the life of a believer, and consequently what results if you neglect the word of God in your life. You're casting aside blessing. You're casting aside happiness. And this is not just general, but this is personal. This must become a personal reality in each one of our lives. Notice verse 1, 2, and 3. The psalmist uses those and they. How blessed are those whose way is blameless. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies. They seek him. They also do not work unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. Now notice verse 4 narrows down to us. You have commanded us. And then notice verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. It narrows even further to my and I. Oh, may my ways be established. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. The progression of the psalmist demonstrates that this is about more than just knowing this. This needs to become a reality and practice in your life. This needs to be, I will not be ashamed. I will look upon all your commandments. I will give thanks with uprightness of heart. I will learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Do not forsake me, Lord. I need you. This needs to become your way, your walk, your practice, your pattern of life, your lifestyle. Is your life saturated with the word of God? Is it what you depend upon for life and godliness? Does it guide and direct and instruct your way of life? So how can we do this? We need to read our word. We need to read God's word. Plan it. Prioritize it. If you're not reading God's word, make a plan to start. Pick a book, any book. Start and start reading. Prioritize it in your schedule. Prepare for it. Pick a place if that's helpful for you. Have your Bible open and ready for the next day's reading and study. And pray. Ask the Lord that your heart would delight in seeking after him with all your heart. That you want to know him. And that you depend upon him to establish your ways. Pray and read, and then pause and consider how you're going to practice it in your life. And then praise him. Praise him for revealing truth to you. Praise him for having his word to guide your path. Praise him that his word teaches you who he is. Praise him for the work that his word is doing in your life. And then pass on the truth to those around you. Speak of the Lord's goodness. Speak of the Lord's precepts and testimonies to those around you. Plan, prioritize, prepare, pray, pause, practice, and pass it on. Get accountability if that helps as well. Talk to a brother or sister here. The blessing of walking in obedience to the word of God is seen throughout this psalm. Almost every verse speaks about our obedience that God requires and how it relates to the blessed life. And this first stanza ends with holy affections, praise, and worship. The psalms and this psalm are to form our hearts so that we would praise him even more. What we need in a sin-cursed and shaky world is a sure foundation, and that sure foundation is the revelation of the word of God. We must have confidence in the word of God and what it does, what it accomplishes. And therefore, we must immerse and saturate ourselves in the word of God to know his will so that we can live life as he has intended for us to live. That will lead to true blessedness. When the word of God dwells deep in a person's heart and life, this God-given blessedness will flood and fill our souls. And so what happens in the life of those who make the Word of God the center of their lives? It produces men and women who are enjoying and experiencing the blessed life, even in the midst of wickedness and difficulty and trials and suffering. The path to a blessed life is only found in the Word of God. And the path to a blessed life is conforming yourself to the Word of God and the law of Yahweh. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for its clear instruction, its clear guidance. Help us to be those who are quick to hear, quick to obey. Father, help us to be faithful. You've preserved your Word. You've revealed your Word to us. Help us not to be those who would neglect it, to think that we know all that it contains because we've read it once or that we've read it many times. Your Word contains unsearchable riches. We can never fully comprehend who you are. Help us to be those who long after you, who hunger and thirst for more of you and your Word and more of righteousness. Father, would your Spirit produce in us hearts of praise and thanksgiving and greater affections for your Word. Father, help us to love your law and to keep it diligently and to seek it with all of our hearts. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.